Hello Fuji lovers, Tomasz here and welcome to another episode of Fuji Love Podcast. Needless to say, the Fuji Love Podcast is brought to you by the Fuji Love magazine, and I would like to warmly welcome all the new subscribers who joined the Fuji Love crowd last month. August was really special and I was so happy to personally reach out to many of you and thank you for getting on board. Fuji Love community is growing steadily and it's just wonderful what a great group of photographers we have gathered around the site, around the magazine and all around our social media accounts. My today's guest on the show is an official Fujifilm ex-photographer from Canada, Mr. Ian McDonald. But before we jump into today's episode, let me just quickly remind you about the Fuji Love live event, which will take place in London, UK, on the weekend of 28th and 29th of October this year. Ticket sales are now open and the spots are selling out very quickly. It's a two-day event full of Fujifilm goodness with some excellent presentations and workshops with such big Fuji X guys as Omar Z. Robles, David Nightingale, Ilya Locardi and Nathan Elson. So if you want to visit London and combine it with some strong and healthy dose of Fuji X knowledge and inspiration, that's the weekend to visit London, 28th and 29th of October. We will be having a wonderful time, so make sure you grab your spot, and there is only 100 of them available in total. Head over to fujilove.com and you will find a link to the Fujilove live event just in the top section of the website. I will see you all in London. Okay, let's get to the conversation with my today's guest, Ian McDonald, Fujifilm ex-photographer from Vancouver, a wonderful guy, passionate photographer, great photography blogger, and an excellent educator. We have been planning to chat for ages, and finally we made it. We recorded this conversation last week, and I am more than convinced that you will enjoy it a lot. Okay, that's enough from me. Here's my conversation with Ian McDonald.
This is Fuji Love, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Thank you for tuning in.
Ian, thanks so much. I know you just woke up very early in the morning, but you, as you just told me, you already went out jogging, so I feel a little bit better, right? How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Don't worry about feeling too much better, because when I run, I usually just run out of guilt. But I did it and I'm here.
Okay. We have been, you know, connecting online, and you also prepared a couple of things already for Fujilove, but we never met. This is the first time we're actually talking. It's still not really live, but at least we can hear each other, right?
Yes.
So it's thanks so much once more for coming here on the podcast. And you know, like I mentioned to you before we started recording, I am really not so perfectly prepared for this interview. I didn't actually take any notes. I thought like, oh, what the heck? Let's just start improvising once and let's see what happens. So let's have a nice chat here. You are a Fujifilm ex-photographer, official photographer, right?
I am, for Fujifilm Canada.
Photographing a plenty of different subject matters, I would say. I just had a look at your portfolio. And how would you describe yourself? You are mainly a street photographer, right? But you photograph many different things.
You know, when I started with photography probably a decade ago, I was really into planned, organized photography. I did a lot of portraiture with a lot of lighting and hair and makeup artists. I did a lot of landscape photography where I was, you know, mapping everything out and traveling and planning to be at a certain place at a certain time of day. Mm-hmm. And my photography now is sort of the complete opposite of that. And now I just consider myself to be a candid or a documentary photographer. So I would say a big chunk of that is street photography. That's definitely my main love. I shoot a lot of candid wedding photography. I shoot mm-hmm. some events. But the underlying theme with all of my photography, be it street, travel, wedding, is that I have developed a love for the candid moment rather than the highly organized and planned photo shoot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So don't you struggle, you know, with defining the area, or you know, the specialty, or whatever we want to call it, of your photographic work? Because, you know, it's something I have been struggling a lot and still struggle. Like, you know, I try to define what I'm actually doing photographically, but then I am also enjoying so many different things. Don't you have problems with this, you know, with defining your area or your specialty?
It's a great question. So when I became a professional photographer, that's sort of a second calling or a second life for me. For decades, I worked as a paramedic on an ambulance. And I always had a creative, you know, side to me, be it music, I was a professional musician, or now photography. And when I made this leap into being a professional photographer, the only real definition I wanted is that I made a pact with myself that I was only going to take photographs that made me happy. And and so it isn't defined by genre. It is definitely defined by the fact that I'm creating the art that I want to make and the art that I want to see. And that's almost the only definition I want to put on it.
Do you photograph like daily?
I typically am out shooting depending on all the other parts of life, you know, be it the admin of the business, the editing or family commitments, that kind of thing. I try to have a camera in my hand and be out shooting at least twice a week. And then it depends if I'm traveling, it's every day, or if the business side is taking over. Sometimes I only get out, you know, once every week or once every 2 weeks sometimes.
Right. So what would you say? What would you say is this main impulse? Like, let's say you are sitting at home, you know, waking up, and you suddenly feel this urge, right? Like you want to go out and photograph. Like, how would you describe what's happening inside you? Like, what are you curious about? What's going up? What's going on out there? Or what's this thing which actually, you know, pushes you out the door on the streets?
You know, my wife says that I'm not a photographer. She calls me an explorer and that I just happen to have a camera with me. And I think that's part of it. It's the reason I travel, you know, 3, 4, or 5 times a year. I love exploring. I love wandering. But I think there's a bigger piece of it. All of my work, be it my wedding photography or my street photography, there's a central theme that it involves people. And, you know, I've taught for 20 years or longer, actually. My post-secondary education is actually in how to teach and adult education. As a paramedic, I worked, you know, I did 15,000 ambulance calls. And through all of that, through all of the teaching I've done in my life, through all the work I did as a paramedic, through everything I do with my camera, there's just a central theme that I love people. And I think my drive is partially to explore and partially to wander, but I think it's just, I love humanity. I love interacting with people. I love observing people. I love meeting new people and I love documenting.
Mm-hmm. So I can imagine as a street photographer, you are, because there are different types, right, of street photographers, but I can imagine after you just said that you are the one who exactly also interacts, talks to people on the streets, to people you photograph. Is it correct?
It is, you know, and it all kind of ties in. When I go, say, into downtown Vancouver, where I live, if I go into Vancouver for a day of street photography, I'm excited as I take the train into the city. And it's just this world of possibilities when I get off the train and start wandering with my camera. And sometimes it's going to be finding beautiful light and making a candid image. Sometimes it's seeing an interesting person and stopping and talking to them for a while and then asking if I can make their portrait. It's just this huge canvas. And, you know, it starts with a camera, but it's much like you play the piano, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So there's only
another musician in the crowd.
Yeah. And you know, you've got what, 88 keys on your piano. I've got 6 strings on my guitar, and yet we have unlimited potential. And that's the way I feel about being out with a camera in a city surrounded by people. I just get excited every time I do it.
Still, you know, when being out there, I kind of struggle with narrowing my focus, so to speak. You know what I mean? So, for example, I'm on the streets and, you know, like you say, I could shoot people. I could come up to them, shoot street portraits. I could shoot bigger scenes. I could shoot, you know, architecture, whatever. So you are not having this kind of doubts, this kind of, you know, thoughts when it comes to exactly defining the subject? Is it really like everything what's out there is becoming a part of your vision?
It is. Now, I will say that for people that make a living off of this or do it as a full-time profession, it's definitely not what most people would say is the smartest thing to do. You know, most people that make a living, they have a niche, there's a market that they're known for. You know, our friend Kevin Mullins is an example, right? Kevin is known for his beautiful wedding photography. And so what I'm doing is definitely more difficult, I think probably from a business perspective. But because photography is all about the artistic side of my life, and because photography is a second calling for me after so many years teaching and in healthcare, I just made that pact with myself that I'm going to go where my heart takes me and where my vision takes me. And if I look at my images, there is that underlying theme, and it is documenting candid moments for the most part. And my street photography, as an example, makes me a stronger wedding photographer because my camera skills are stronger, my reaction is better, my vision is better, my timing is better. But I just, because this is a second act in life for me, I made a pact with myself that I was just going to shoot whatever made me happy. I was going to build my business around that. And I was going to make sure that I always loved what I was doing.
Yeah, this is anyway the best way of approaching things, right? Because then all the viewers, all of us who are looking at your photographs, we feel it in your photos, you know? So we feel this guy is actually enjoying what he's doing. And you can just feel it through. I mean, if you're sensitive enough, you feel it through the photos. Like you feel it with a musician, right? Who is enjoying his playing or not. I'm sure you agree here.
Yes. And, you know, the musical analogy is an apt one. There are musicians out there, and of course, I know you know this, that they live through the music they play. And then there are other musicians that are just playing other people's music robotically. And I feel when I have a camera in my hands, like I'm truly living through it. It just feels like a part of me, which sounds very artsy to say, and I'm not that kind of person.
No, goosebumps from time, goosebumps.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm feeling the same. It's like, I feel like a fish in water when I, you know, like walking the streets with my camera. So it's like,
yes.
It's like a different reality. How about, okay, this is inspiration, this is our vision, and how about motivation? You know, I was sitting, the rain is pouring down here today in Switzerland, and I was actually, now it's afternoon, but in the early hours of today, I was thinking about going out, but I will be honest with you, the rain stopped me, and I know very well, because sometimes I photograph in the rain, that actually you can get great, great shots when it's raining, because you have all the reflections and stuff. But today it stopped me, you know, and sometimes it happens. How does it work for you? Like, let's say it's raining a lot. Do you go out? You plan going out, and then the weather is really bad. Do you still go out?
If I plan to go out, the weather isn't a barrier, but there's definitely days where I think with many things in our life, just the logistics of getting to the shoot can seem overwhelming, right? You know, it could be the weather, it could be, you know, your daughter is sick, it could be that the dog just chewed on the couch. It could be there's banking or income tax to do. Like, there's definitely times where it just feels like I can't do it today. You know, what I find is that, you know, there's days where I just let it go and I don't let it bother me. And I stay home and I accomplish the tasks that need to be accomplished. But there's other days where, you know, I push through it and I go out and I shoot, and I am never disappointed when I push through it. The hard part is actually pushing through the inertia. Once you get out there, it's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. I think it's getting more difficult when it happens, let's say, you know, 7 or 8 weeks in a row. Eight days in a row, I even meant, right? So, you know, that we are giving up on this going out. Like with me, a week would be the limit, you know, when I really start getting actually frustrated.
Yeah, it's like going to the gym, right? You know, it's if you say no to Monday, it becomes easier to say no to Tuesday.
Exactly. Ian, you're also teaching a lot, right?
Yes.
More and more, as I can see.
Yes.
How did this start? Like, when did you start with workshops? It's not so long, a long time ago, right? With photography workshops.
Well, I've been teaching for 22 years, but in terms of teaching in the photography industry, it's been maybe a year maybe a year and a half at the most. And a lot of it just came down to my love of education. You know, there's different motivations for teaching for sure. But for me, whether I used to teach guitar, whether I taught people how to be paramedics or teaching photography, I love the process of education. I love working with students. I love that moment when they get it. And, you know, a big thing about teaching for me, there are instructors out there that they teach people how to be like them. And I try to teach differently. I try to teach students how to find their own vision. And then when they do, they always come up with something that I didn't see. And then I get to learn from that. And that's exciting too.
Exactly. I was about to ask you if you're also getting those experiences where you are actually learning from your, you know, students, because it happens a lot to me. It's like it's like a whole circle. And I think also everybody in this equation is the happiest when it's actually happening, when people, you know, in the workshop group with the teacher, when it starts creating this kind of circle, then it's when the magic happens, right?
Yes. And I end my workshops with a group critique. And so we might have, you know, 50 pictures from the group that we go through and we discuss. And when they start clicking through some of these pictures, you know, I have these moments where I just either think like, that is incredible. Or I have these other moments where I'm thinking, I was standing right beside you and I didn't see that, right? But it makes me a better photographer.
Amazing, right? Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. Like basically there is even not so many elements in this scene, but still 10 people will come up with 10 completely different pictures. It's just
and
crazy.
I love that. I love art. I love everything about it. And I love the process of watching what other artists do. And my students always teach me as much as I teach them.
Let's talk about Fuji. We're on the Fuji Love podcast. So.
Sure, yeah. My favorite topic.
Exactly. Standard questions for you. Why Fuji, since when, and how did it all start for you?
It started for me the way it started for a lot of us. I was a Nikon shooter, or Nikon. I was in a huge rut. Photography had become a formula for me. The portraiture that I had become known for, I would go on location, I would underexpose the ambient by a stop or two, I would have a big light connected with Pocket Wizards to my camera. It was just a formula, and I felt like the pictures I was taking were very similar to the pictures everybody else was taking. And a lot of that, in hindsight, I can tie back to when David Hobby and his Strobist website was really, really, really big. You know, David's amazing, an amazing educator, an amazing photographer. And I think if there was any downfall to what he created, it was that there was a legion of people that all kind of learned how to shoot the same way. And so I got in a bit of a creative rut, and to the point actually where I was considering stepping away from the camera. And then the X100 came out, and this is where my son is very similar to other people's. I actually went with the X100 as a Hail Mary. It was my attempt to introduce a incredibly strict limitation compared to a backpack full of SLR gear and see if this one little camera could rekindle my love of photography. And it didn't just rekindle my love of photography, it changed my life completely.
Okay, but and how did it happen that you chose X100? Did you compare different, you know, brands and models of cameras, or just you know, somebody recommended it to you?
No, it's going to be so silly, but I saw the picture in the magazine, and you know what? I hate to say it, but if you're a person that believes in karma or fate, that's pretty much what happened. I saw the picture, and something about it spoke to me, and then I went by a camera shop and I held it in my hands, and it spoke to me, and I said, this is it. I'm going to give it a try.
And you just bought it?
It was a massive, huge leap of faith, my friend.
And so you just bought it.
Okay.
So this is almost the same story as mine. I already told it a couple of times here. I was looking for a smaller camera for the same reason. I was also shooting with Nikon before. I didn't even open a newspaper. I was just walking. I went straight to my local photography shop, and I was standing in front of the window, and I saw this was the X100S, yeah, the one I started with. And I just, you know, liked the look of this camera. I was like, you know, what's this camera? What is it? And then I, you know, took my iPhone out, and I started, you know, quickly searching for reviews. a couple of 5-star reviews, it was enough. I went in and I just bought it. Yeah. I just risked it, right? And today we are here with Fujilove. So
I can't tell you how many musicians I know that, you know, guitar players that either play, you know, a Fender Stratocaster or a Gibson Les Paul. And when I say, what made you pick those? Because those are two very different instruments that feel completely different to play. You know, their answer essentially comes down to, I thought that one was pretty, you know, like you figure out later what a beautiful instrument feels like, but you initially start with a gut reaction, and Fuji punched me in the gut, and that was the one, and it's just built from there.
Yeah, you mentioned karma before, and absolutely, then you're talking to the right person. I absolutely believe it's in some kind of energies and, you know, unexplainable, you know, moments where things happen and you know, lead us to better things, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. I believe in such things. And it's the same with photography, you know. I also believe, I don't really plan, you know, like schedule my walks or anything. I just go out there and I believe, you know. Okay, let's not get here to, how's the word?
Down the rabbit hole. Yeah.
Mainly street photography for you. So which camera is it these days? X100F?
So, yeah, you know, for my street photography and for my travel photography, it is absolutely the X100F. I was one of the 50X photographers to be fortunate enough to be on the beta testing team for the X100F this time. And, you know, the X100 series has always felt right in my hand. But because I'm an X-Pro2 shooter, when I first took my pre-production X100F out of the box, and it had everything I love about the X100 series with all of the ergonomics of the X-Pro2, I instantly fell in love. And that camera, for me, hasn't left my side. Even when I'm using my X-Pro2s for my professional shoots and my weddings, the X100F is always there.
Mm-hmm. So, no street photography with X-Pro2, or sometimes yes, with different, you know, focal lengths?
I'll take it for either if I'm testing something new. You know, when I get a new lens, I do believe that you need to put everything else aside and you need to really learn that new lens, right? And so I've been working a lot with the 50 F2 lately. And so that, of course, would be on the X-Pro2. My hand just naturally picks up the X100, and that's the focal length I see in. So that's what I normally go out with. And if I'm taking, you know, an X-Pro2, it's either because I'm going out in the pouring rain and it's weather resistant, or it's because I want to work specifically with a different focal length. And when I do that for street, everything else stays home. So I go out with one camera, one lens.
Okay. Could you tell me a little bit more about your impressions of the 50mm f2? Believe it or not, I didn't have it in my hands yet.
Oh, you know,
I love my 56, you know, for what reasons. It's just it's a magic lens, absolutely. But it's way too slow for quick street kind of candid moments.
Yes.
So how is the 50?
You know,
the new 50.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's the natural desire to compare the 56 to the 50, but they're very different lenses. It renders differently than the 56. It obviously is a stop and a bit slower, you know, 1.2 versus F2. But it is incredibly fast for the autofocus. It is weather resistant. It is sharp. It is a great, great lens. And, you know, when that series started with the 35 F2, I was, you know, everybody probably remembers when they tried the 35 F2 compared to the 35 1.4. And the 1.4 is a magic lens. Like, its rendering is beautiful, as is the 56 1.2, right? But that 35 F2, when it came out and it had this, you know, tiny little package with beautiful rendering, beautiful autofocus, weather resistant, you know, that's sort of what the 50 is, just a little bit longer. And I have tried it now on the street. I've tried it for some portraits. I've tried it for at a wedding. And I'm incredibly impressed with it. The 56, I will still bring out for portrait sessions because it renders beautifully. It is my favorite portrait lens. But apart from that, I have to say I'm leaning on that 50 F2 a lot these days.
Okay, but is the rendering of these images way different, or, you know, between the 56 or 50, like, how would you explain the difference in, you know, in this rendering?
At, you know, f5.6, f8, f11, I don't see a big difference. Where you see the difference is when you get into the more shallow depth of fields. And the bokeh is a little bit different. And obviously the ability to go to wider apertures is a little bit more limited. I would say, unless you're a person that, you know, lives at f1.2 and just loves that shallow depth of field, you would be very happy with the 50 f2.
Okay. Let's talk about the future. Are there any you know, wishes you have when it comes to future Fujifilm products? Is there something you are missing still? Or I think we always talk about it, and I think it's also a bit, you know, it's an exaggerated kind of subject, because actually there is so much, there's everything we have. But okay, let me ask you this. Is there something you would still wish, you know, Fujifilm to produce, to put out there?
That's a great question. You know, there's nothing that I can't do with my current gear. But if we're just talking about like a Christmas wish list for a second, there's a couple of things I could think of.
Okay, good.
Yeah. You know, I would love to see some firmware updates coming for the X-Pro2 that would bring us, first of all, being able to assign back button focusing to the rear command dial like you can on the X100F. And now on the X-T2 for that matter. I would like to see that firmware update bring ISO adjustments to the front command dial. I would like to see that firmware update bring tethering and potentially 4K video to the X-Pro2. So in regards to that, I think the X-Pro2 just needs a few software tweaks to make it, in my mind, the perfect camera. I absolutely love the X-Pro2. In terms of hardware, I would love to see the F2 series continue with something wider. So either the 18 F2 redone the same way the new 23, 35, and 50 lenses are, or maybe even a 16 F2, but in that same smaller format. Let's see. And you know, I still think for people that love off-camera lighting, that I don't think the perfect flash system exists yet for the Fuji system. You know, there's some third-party manufacturers making some great things. Fuji now has the EFX 500. Like, it's definitely coming, but I would love to see the ability to use off-camera flash enhanced for our system.
Would you use off-camera flash on the streets as well, or have you used it?
Not on the streets, but for portraits I do, and I like to use it sometimes at weddings on the dance floor and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully Fujifilm is listening, so get your Christmas boxes ready. in
that
terms
would be
of
great.
Gear, in terms of gear, so you are not a XT2, you know, XT line user.
I am have not. I have two X-Pro2s and I have an X100F.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have used the X-T2. I worked with a pre-production model before the launch. And it's great. It's an amazing camera. I just find my gravitation is to the ergonomics and the styling of the X-Pro2 and X100F camera lines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They feel good in my hands.
Ian, one thing for those of our listeners who are into street photography, maybe hopefully some of them will join one of your workshops in the future. But if you could just reveal, you know, basic settings, which Ian McDonald, you know, sets his X100F to before, you know, leaving home, before opening the door, like in terms of, you know, shutter speed, ISO, and let's say the aperture. What's your to-go settings for street photography?
So I'll definitely tell them right now. And then I actually have a super popular page on my website that is basically called Setting Up the X100F for Street Photography, where I kind of list it all out in detail.
Okay, we link to this, yeah.
Yeah. But basically, on the street, most of the time here in Vancouver, because our weather changes so frequently, I want my camera to be able to react to the light changes without me putting a lot of thought into it. So I use aperture priority mode. Typically, I will live between f5.6 and f11, depending on how much ambient light there is. And I also live in auto ISO. And I try to keep an ISO of about 1/320th at a minimum. I find that's the minimum shutter speed of 1/320th. I find that's the minimum to freeze most people when they're walking or moving. And I will let my ISO range up to 3200. I'm quite comfortable at ISO 3200 on these cameras. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say a lot of that is that, you know, I want my camera to give me my aperture and my minimum shutter, desired shutter speed. I'm quite comfortable if it plays with the ISO to get there. And the one adjustment I make on my camera constantly when I'm on the street is I ride the exposure compensation dial like crazy. I'm always looking for those patches of light, that contrasty light, which is kind of a theme through my street photography. And when I find it, I use my exposure compensation to put the shadows and the highlights where I want them. And then the rest of my time on the street, for the most part, is just focused on the creation of the image because I trust the equipment to get the exposure down.
How about focusing? Are you in single point or are you using the zone features?
Single point, actually. I have very few problems. I will use AFL a lot. You know, if I'm setting up where I find... I always think of street photography... You know, I think of wanting a subject, a moment, a background, and good light. Like, those are kind of the four key things. And I always try to get all four. As you know, it's very rare that it happens. It's the magic photo that happens once every so often when you get all of those elements perfectly. But I'm looking for those things. And if I find a location with a great background and great light, and I'm just waiting for a subject or a moment to kind of tie it all together, I'll usually just either drop into manual focus or use my AFL button to lock my focus. And then everything's set, and I just have to wait for the moment to come together.
Right. Ian, you know, you're an excellent talker. I'm happy to have you today on the show because I'm a little bit, you know, I didn't have so much sleep, so I'm happy. And I can also see people could absolutely learn a lot from you. So tell us just a little bit more before we, you know, wrap up about your workshops. What's coming up? What are the, you know, where are the open spots? Are there open spots? What are your plans? And where could people, you know, find about the workshops?
Yeah. So I have kind of 3 points of education that I deliver. So my face-to-face workshops typically are 3 days. They're a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday session. And everyone I did this year, I'm incredibly grateful. They all sold out. So that was great. And my next one is sold out, and that's actually in Amsterdam. And then I'm laying out my 2018 calendar right now, which is going to have workshops in Canada, the United States, and Europe. I also deliver one-on-one workshops here in Vancouver where I do custom education for people that have specific needs. And then a big part of my brand, I guess to use a word that I hate, but a big part of my brand is actually delivering online education via Skype. I started using Skype and online education as a paramedic and working with paramedics around the world. And I fell in love with the potential of it. And so now I have clients from probably 4 or 5 different continents that I work with on a regular basis. And I do portfolio reviews with them. I will customize education where I'll figure out their needs and then I'll give them homework assignments. And then we do like critique on the homework that they do on the next session. And so, you know, I find the education is just, it's limitless with the technology that we have nowadays. So face-to-face, yeah, mm-hmm. private in Vancouver, and online.
Okay, perfect. And as I understand you, we can find everything on your website, which is?
IanMacDonaldPhotography.com. And MacDonald is M-A-C. And then my Instagram is IanMacDonaldPhotography. And the other place I hang out is on Twitter at IanMPhotography.
Okay, perfect. I will put the links to everything you mentioned in the show notes. Ian, thanks so much. I'm sure I can't wait till we finally meet each other somewhere live, you know, in person. Hopefully, maybe in Europe once. Canada is also on my list, so I hope it will happen. Maybe next year. Actually, I was thinking about Canada recently, so let's see what happens. We will talk, right? Yeah, thanks so much, Ian. Have a great day. Are you photographing today?
I am actually. I'm heading out in about 2 hours.
Okay, perfect. Have a great time. Thanks so much, and have a great night. Thanks so much, Ian.
Yeah, you too, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook Readers Group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.